Blog Talk Radio.
Superstars is Friday Night Lights. We got a big show lined up. I think we're gonna have.
What's wrong with me? Why do I feel like this?
We're going to have a big show tonight. I think we got some great people calling in. And man, it's Friday night. It's time to have a good time. Kick back just a little bit. Enjoy yourself. We hope you'll break out an adult beverage and slow the night down and just enjoy yourself. It's been a long week. I know a lot of you have been out there working hard and been a lot of stuff going on. We've done a lot of television this week. We've had a whole lot of stuff going on live television, a lot of cooking. We were in St. Louis last weekend, and I know a lot of y'all saw us out there. And we should hopefully have some callers in here in just a minute. I think Pirate John is supposed to call in. She called in earlier, and said she was going to call in. Now, at 7:30, we've got some other callers planning to come in. If you're out there listening, go ahead and call in. Number to call is 347-202-0263. And let's have a good time. Now, I've got my Bud Heavy busted open here. And I tell you now, we was in St. Louis. We did so much fun stuff. And today on the live television show, I cooked in a disc cooker. That's where they took a plate off a disc and made it into a cooker. And, wow. We cooked up some sausage mixtures and a lot of stuff like that. Okay, we got our first caller here. Hey, caller, what's going on? I think this is Lori Frazee, the Barn Goddess.
It is the Barn Goddess. How are you?
Hey, how we doing now?
We're,
Barn Goddess. Go ahead.
We're lovely.
Now, man, I know you got a lot of big stuff planned in the future. And, folks, now, you know, I used to walk around events with the radio in my hand and do interviews and stuff. And now Barn Goddess is going to start doing that some on BNTL. She's going to be going around and doing interviews. And somebody said you might be planning on doing that tomorrow.
Well, I got posted to – I'm judging tomorrow at the Mulberry Imperial Polk County Throwdown, which is what Polk County used to be called, Imperial Polk County. And I'm going to walk around prior to the contest before I judge, starting at 8:30, and visit with some of the teams and get into the inner sanctum. I'm not going to be able to give any secrets away, and they're probably not going to want to show me anything because I compete with them anyway, but hopefully we'll get a chance to chat with them.
Now, is it presently called the Imperial Polk County, or is that an old name?
That it's an old name, but now I've been in Florida since 1981. Oh, hate to give my age away, but I came here a year after teaching school, 1 year in Indiana, and moved to Florida. And when I moved here, it was called Imperial Polk County. So when they were chatting about that, I just thought they were, you know, busting my ass about, you know, being trying to be funny, Imperial. And then I remembered, oh yeah, that is what that's. I think that's actually how it's on the map.
Well, now you got a big Wednesday night show going on, 7 o'clock Eastern on BNTL. And who'd you have on last week?
Well, it's kind of funny. Last week I had None Ya Business, Rich from Mad Hunky Meats, which he does rubs and brines, and he does a great job, and he's sent me some product to try. But then I had Winks Barbecue, who just placed 10th in the Live Oak contest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's like one of their first really high ups. They placed 5th. Now you're checking my memory. They placed 5th in chicken and 5th in ribs. I'm pretty sure that's where they were. And then I had Gary Lee Park. He and I met at Rubb's Cook School. I think I told you before that I got to help out, and while Rubb was teaching the class, I got to clean dishes and watch the temperatures on his meats on the grill. And he has Yoder cookers, so it was different for me. It was fun to do. But anyway, Gary was part of his school, and he placed 5th in brisket. He has a little restaurant over in the Middleburg area. So I had some new teams on, which was really fun. You know, as excited as I am and happy because Dana Hillis took grand champion, which Dana does a great job every time he cooks. And then
I was obviously working up to that. Dana L. Hillis won grand champion at the Swanee in Live Oak.
And it's his repeat. He won last year. Yeah, he won last year. And so it was super exciting to see that. And then Team Unknown, they got reserve grand champion. And, you know, they always kick ass. And so it was a fun contest. They had some issues there that the team organizer or the contest organizers overcame, and everybody had a great time.
Now, if Team Unknown was reserve grand champion, I got to wonder how the point standing in the FPA is shaking up right now.
Well, I can tell you.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love to check in on that because I know Sweet Smoke Q was number one there for a little while.
And he's in number one position by 5 points because Matt Barber, who is Hot Wachula's, Matt had a really good cook, and so they're within 5 points. They were within 79 points, I think, a week ago. And so now they're within 5 points. And the top 10, there's only like 102 points between them. So, you know, every vote counts. Every point counts. These guys are not going to miss a contest. They're not going to miss an opportunity to do the best they can do.
No, read the top 10. I'd like to know.
Uh-oh. I can't do that off the top of my head.
I'm sorry. I thought you had it pulled up.
No, that's okay. I don't have it in front of me, but, you know,
Is it on the Florida
Boys...
Barbecue Association site?
What's that?
Is it on the Florida Barbecue Association site?
Yeah, absolutely. If they go on to Florida Barbecue Association and you click on TOTY, Team of the Year, it'll give the standings. And it's tight. The top 10 are all really close. Rub, Dana, Team Unknown, they're all in there. It's just that Jim has made, and Jim is one of my sponsors, both for my show on Wednesday and for my team, Barn Goddess. And he has made it his mission. That's what he wants to do this year. It's his goal. And he is, you know, him and Matt, neither one are going to miss a contest between now and the end of the year.
All right, we've got Sweet Smoke Q with 367 points. Hot Wachula's 362.
Yeah.
Big, huh? And that's 5 points. And then Big Papa's Country Kitchen, close third with 300. Wow, so them three are like a pack out front. Dana Hillis being 16 points out of the lead, and Hot Wachula was only 5 points out of the lead. And then Team Unknown, 314, Gitter Smoke, 281, Swamp Boys, 261, Flint's Creek Barbecue, 182, Jack's Old South, 145, Woody Bully Mafia Barbecue, 129, and Captain Jack's Barbecue, 117 points.
Yeah, so you can see every point's going to matter. All these guys, and, you know, Blitzkrieg hasn't competed. I think they've missed 2 contests. So you've got people right up there that all they got to do is show up at everything, and you got a contest, my friend.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you now. Sweet Smoke Q, I was there when he won a couple grands. And, okay, now it says contest 16, Sweet Smoke Q, grands 10, reserve 18, third 16, fourth 7, fifth 6, sixth 20, seventh 4th, eighth 9th 10th, and then at the end it says 57. And so they got a total of 367 points. I tell you now, Hot Wachula, he can win on any given Sunday or Saturday. And they did the Big Papa's Battle at Barbecue Junction, and he came in second place to Blitzkrieg, but turned around and took reserve grand in the overall contest. And, Matt's got a great flavor profile. He knows what he's doing when he gets in there, don't he?
Yes, he does. And you know, for a business, Matt is a co-packer. So he actually, the funny thing is, and I had Matt and Jim on my show at the same time, and it got to be kind of funny because Matt is Jim's co-packer, and he co-packs his Sweet Smoke.
Oh.
You didn't know that, did you?
He co-packed the Sweet Smoke Q, and now he's beating him with it.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, you know, Matt's a purist. He is so flippin' honest that I said, well, do you buy? I never intended to insinuate that he was using the juice without talking to Jim, I asked him if he bought the juice, because I would have never thought that he, because I know that he's how he is, and he's like, no, I don't even use it, because he doesn't want anybody to think that he's done something, inappropriate. So,
now, when you say co-packer, you mean he produces sauces and rubs for other people?
Yeah, he actually, that's his full-time business.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a co-packer. And he will do, if you, and I had him on the show to talk about this because the USDA is changing the labeling and the inspections, and they're closing down little co-packers all over because there's people that are co-packing their own stuff, and I'll call it co-packing. Actually, what they're doing is canning it, and you can't do that. If you get caught, you know, it's not like you're going to jail, but there is a monetary fine attached to that. But they're closing small co-packers all over the state of Florida because there's a gal in Ocala that I had spoke to, and she didn't want to come on the show until after her inspection, and it was supposed to be the next week, and then it ended up being like 3 weeks. So she was just inspected again last week, and I'm waiting to talk to her because they're looking to close down the little guy that doesn't do it perfectly. And Matt does it perfectly. She does it perfectly too, but she didn't want to be on until afterwards. So, yeah, Matt, that's what his business is.
Now check this. Hell yeah! We're going to have to get him a big hell yeah for that. Now that's
hell
awesome.
Yeah. Oh, was that Gretchen Wilson? I sing that song. We'll have to do that sometime.
You do?
Yeah, you know, my honey's a DJ, and so we go out and sing a lot. That's one of my songs.
Wow! Now, let me get a big hell yeah from the redneck girls like me. Go ahead. Hell yeah.
Oh, no. I'm having an adult beverage. I could blow your eardrums out.
All right. Now, we got Pirate Johnny's on the line. We've got my main man. Now, folks, they sent me the full line, and I did a very stupid thing. Now, I actually had every Pirate Johnny's all they make in my possession. But I went down to this great big old continuing education program. It's probably 200 or 300 people there. I got excited. The man who was over the whole program came out. I presented the Pirate Johnny line to him, and he went and tasted. Well, everybody there tasted. And then at the end of the thing, he said, I like them a lot. Can I have it? Can I have what you got here? And I got head over heels, and sure as the world, I said, you can have it. So now I'm doing live television every day, and I ain't got no pie. How stupid was that? But anyway, what's going on with Pirate Johnny tonight?
Yar, how are you doing? This is Pirate Johnny here.
Arr.
Clearwater.
Oh, Clearwater now. This guy's a real pirate. Now, Pirate 50, you know, everybody knows Dale Wilson's a real pirate. Pirate Johnny's a real pirate, too. What's going on down at the seaside, Pirate Johnny?
Well, we were going to be doing our normal Friday night racing on our sailboat in the bay, but there's not a lot of wind tonight and a bunch of storms, so we decided not to do that tonight, and we're just kind of sitting around trying to figure out what we're going to do.
Well, now, I was tasting your big line of stuff there, and, you know, that Cajun rub you got is just through the roof crazy good. And I got to ask you, Pirate Johnny, how did you come up with all that stuff?
Well, the Cajun, my wife, Mrs. Pirate Johnny here, she's a born and raised New Orleans gal, and her whole family is true deep-fried Cajun people from the backwaters of Louisiana. So We've sampled quite a bit of Cajun food, and we kind of know what we like, and it seems like everything on the market is full of salt, and I know salt's a component of Cajun food, but we thought it was just too much salt. It kind of masks the flavor, so I created, I love Cajun cooking, and Cajun cooking has a lot of ingredients in it, so what I wanted to do is create a spice that is... that mimics some of the actual ingredients in Cajun cooking, like thyme and sage and some of those things. And I put that in there, and I took out the salt so that when you add it to gumbos and things, you have all those good minor ingredients, but you don't have that added salt. And some things you do need to add a little extra salt, but you can always do that, but you can't take it away. So we created the Cajun that has all the ingredients without the salt and all those minor elements to it.
Well, man, I tell you, I was crazy about the Cajun. I was crazy about all of it, and you actually got a lime rub. And I watched the video, and there was this very ignorant person on there that said that it was really fine and that, you know, don't inhale it. I don't know what he said, something stupid. But anyway,
right.
Folks,
yeah,
I want everybody
that.
To know I actually tested that out, and what he was telling you was totally bogus. But I did make some chips. I sprinkled a little butter on them. I put the lime on them and ate them. And, man, they were really good. But what is that lime good for? What all is it good for?
We use that a lot on seafood. We mix it up with some melted butter and put it on grilled shrimp. We put it on grilled fish. We have a really nice recipe of wrapped fish. We take some really thinly sliced onions and peppers and stack it up high in a foil pouch, and then put some white fish on top or any kind of fish, and then the key lime chili with butter, and then you seal the foil pouch and you put it on the back of the grill while you're grilling up some corn or whatever else you're doing, and it takes about 20 minutes and all the moisture from the onions and peppers circulates around in that sealed foil and steams the fish, and you get that nice fresh key lime flavor with the chili and all those ingredients in there with the fish, and it's an easy recipe. You just do it and stick it on the grill and come back 20 minutes later and it's done. You don't have to mess around with it. That's an easy recipe.
And now, Pirate Johnny, I know you got about 10 rubs, and folks, these things are astronomically good. I mean, I had that full line there, and one day I cooked 40 pounds of chicken, and I tried a little bit on every single one. Did you see that video?
We sure did.
Yeah,
that
was
sure
good.
Did,
that was fun.
Yeah, and I tell you, for somebody to be able to come up with that many fantastic storylines, because I tell you, when I tasted each one of the Pirate Johnnies, it had a beginning, it had about two or three parts in the middle, and it had an ending. I mean, there was a storyline of flavors every time that those Pirate Johnnies came across. And I just wanted to ask you your background in food. What got you cooking all these or making all these great big fantastic rubs and sauces and herbs that you've come out with?
I got to say, Daryl, it had a lot to do with his nagging wife.
Oh, it did?
She doesn't like sauces. Well, she doesn't like barbecue with sticky fingers and goopy sauces, so she kept encouraging me to do rubs. And so I've always liked barbecue, and we always kept going to barbecue places. And she's like, I don't want barbecue. I get that sauce all over me. So we ended up doing rubs here at the house and had friends over, and everybody liked the rubs, and we just kind of wrote down the recipe.
Oh, go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and call Lori back. I want to get her back on the line. I didn't mean for her to hang up. Okay, well, she must have walked off. But anyway, so essentially, your wife didn't like what she ate at the restaurant. And you know what? If you tried Pirate Johnny's, now, this is talking from a lot of experience. I traveled a lot of miles in the last 4 or 5 years tasting. I've tasted everybody's stuff. I mean, people from Oregon, Washington State, were in Las Vegas. You know, I've been all the way across the country. And, you know, I would not put Pirate Johnny's on my store if it wasn't good enough. And well, anyway, I guess she's busy, but
we're here. I think our phone is cutting in and out here. We got must be some weather or something.
Anyway, so we got the pirate Donnie's in, and I tried a little bit on this and that, and folks, I'm going to tell you, there is a significant flavor difference in Pirate Johnny's and what you'll find in competition barbecue rubs and competition sauces and what you'll find at the local stores. I'm going to tell you, Pirate Johnny's, and hats off to you, it must have been something that happened out there on the Motion Waves while you were in that big ship, you know, doing your pirate thing and looting, and I don't know what all you did, but let's not discuss that. It's good. And,
yeah, it is.
Now, I understand that you guys have a certain little Pirate Johnny, something that you were going to do. I'm dying to hear it.
Oh, we did it for you. Don't make us do it again.
I don't think we remember. We actually, when we were at a Pirate Fest, we were all dressed up and we shot a video and sang a little song for you. We'll have to dig that up and send it back to you.
Oh, well, I got it. I thought you had, she was going to make you do some kind of pirate talk or something, but I guess you had talked Pirate Johnny some. Well, I know you spelled Johnny a little bit differently, and if somebody was to go to your website, now, folks, go to their website and at least look, and I'm going to tell you, you look at all them bottles in the sand beside those beautiful grass, you're going to have to try it, and, you know, you get your little Jack and Coke, a few margaritas, or a little bit of strawberry daiquiris or something going, and a little Margaritaville with Jimmy Buffett, you know.
The pirate prefers a bit of a spiced rum and some Coke, yarr.
Dying on that rim.
Yeah. Hey,
you
now.
You can use it all kind of ways, Daryl, believe me.
So you can use it on mixed drinks, too.
Absolutely. Can I say something also? I'm the big time non-cook in the family. So for anybody who even says that they don't cook or that they don't want to, you know, have to think about what they're going to cook, I love it because I'm not a cook and I can just get this and rub it on. I have this little hand maneuver thing, you know, that I always do. I just rub it on it, sprinkle it on it, you know, put it on my arms, whatever, and I just love it. It's just, it makes it easy for me because I don't have to think. I can just grab a seasoning and say, oh, we're going to have mojo tonight.
Yeah, last night Terry made a Cuban mojo roast pork loin with black beans, yellow rice, and Cuban bread, and it was all made with Pirate Johnny's Cuban mojo, and it's easy, easy. So if you want something, a different kind of meal, that's a really fun seasoning, too. It's a savory seasoning. It's not a barbecue, but it's a nice Caribbean. Our seasonings are all Caribbean-based flavors. That's probably what sets them apart. We don't try to do Southwest or Carolina. We bring the Caribbean flavors in because we're down here in Florida, and we travel, and we love to sail, and we love the islands, and we bring that Caribbean thing into everything we do, and it's all fresh, all natural ingredients. Like our mojo is made with dehydrated lime and dehydrated orange to get that sour orange, all natural flavor, and then we add the cumin, garlic, oregano, black pepper to get the Cuban mojo. So it's fabulous on like roast pork, black beans, yellow rice, so fun and easy.
So now we're talking about complete cooking. We're not talking about limiting it directly to pork or chicken or brisket or, you know, those beef ribs, beef, pork, and chicken. We're talking about, you know, essentially everything in the cabinet. Get a little Pirate Johnny's out. Now that's J-O-N-N-Y, possibly S. Get a little Pirate Johnny's and put it right on there.
There you go.
That's right. And you asked about the key lime, Daryl. Well, let me tell you. John made parsnips and carrots with the key lime. I put it on avocado.
Makes a great guacamole.
So it's just so awesome because it makes it so easy. And I tell you, after I cooked this pork last night, and I'm not a pork lover, and we were both like, oh, this is good. I just felt so proud of myself. I actually cooked it, and it came out.
Oh, that's great, man. So, Dad's the big time cook in the family, and I got to ask you, Pirate Johnny, what do Pirate Johnny people at your house usually eat?
What do we normally eat?
Yeah.
Oh, we
grill all the time.
We grill, yeah. I mean, we get home, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night, and we've got a grill and a smoker out on the patio, so we're always grilling and as often as we can, because it's hot and humid in Florida, and we don't like cooking indoors. So we use we barbecue on the weekends and we grill during the week, and everything from chicken and fish. We love fish and seafood. We like to fish. We're going fishing on Monday. We're going doing some offshore grouper fishing with a friend who's taking us like 30 miles off. So we'll be having some grouper probably with the key lime. It also works well with jerk. And we grill, and we went scalloping a week ago. We took our jet ski out offshore and went scalloping, and we had those with some butter and garlic and a little key lime. So we're always cooking from the sea, or like everyone else, chicken and all that kind of stuff. So we're always cooking something fun. Well, you try to use Pirate Johnny's products on everything because we love developing recipes. So we come up with something good, we write it down, and we put the recipe on our website. I think we have probably at least 15 or 20 recipes for every one of our seasonings that we've developed. From just cooking, or like some of the Cajun ones, our classic Cajun that we've adapted for our product. And so we love to cook, and we share our recipes with everybody. They're all free on the website.
Yeah, that's big news, man. Go ahead.
Even though I'm not a sauce fan, we came out with sauces because, the general public loves sauces too. I actually am using the sauces.
Oh, are you?
But just on the side. I don't want all those sticky fingers and napkins everywhere. But they are really wonderful. And those are the new things that John came out with. Is, I don't know if you've seen it, Daryl. It's a guava girl and a sweet island. Anyway, Pirate Johnny can tell you about that.
Yeah, we came out with we got four sauces, and three of them are barbecue. One's a garlic island that's a little bit tart. It's kind of a lemon, limey, tart, sweet, tomato-based garlic sauce. We have our Caribbean that's based on our Caribbean rub, which has a Jamaican jerk in it, so that's really unique. And then we have our Sweet Island, which is a classic all-American barbecue sauce, but we put our Sweet Island rub in it, so it has lots of spices and flavor. It's not just a sauce. It's a seasoned sauce. It's not hot. It's just full of flavor.
Well,
and then our
the rub in it. It's got these sauces are made from the rubs in most of them. All three of them.
All four of them have our rubs in it.
Oh, the guava does too. Okay.
And the guava is completely unique. It's my own creation that I wanted to do, just indulge myself because I love guava, and I created a guava sauce. It's basically a fruit barbecue type sauce, but it's for anything you want. You can use it as a dipping sauce, a grilling sauce, but it's a guava sauce. We had some Cuban folks come by at the Pirate Fest we did last weekend, and they saw the guava sauce and like, oh yeah, this is great, and they tasted it, and they're just like home. We love this. We love fruit sauces, so it's very unique. We I sketched up some artwork concepts, and then I hired the artists that are next door to us at the shop, and I had her paint the label. So she did the label in oil paints. And so we have some really unique label art, too, on those that are all classic, like a 1930s fruit box label or a cigar box label. So they're really, really interesting-looking labels, too.
I'll send you some, Daryl. You're probably drooling now.
Good Lord, now. I tell you what, guava nectar has turned out to be a secret ingredient in barbecue. And they're putting guava nectar on ribs, brisket, just a lot of whole lot of different stuff now, and guava nectar in a barbecue sauce to me would just be a perfect of perfection combination of flavors in order to put your barbecue way up to the next level. And I think there are some teams out there, instead of going with the pineapple apple juice and guava nectar and butter in their wrap on their Boston butts, they could possibly consider a little Pirate Johnny sauce at that step instead of the guava nectar. And along with the guava nectar, is there like raw brown sugar in it, or is the guava nectar your sugar in that particular sauce?
Yeah, that particular sauce, the sweetener is the guava. We use a fresh guava paste from a company down in Miami that sends it to us in big blocks. And they make a really nice product. And we mix it up with some of our, we actually have a little bit of our Jamaican jerk in the background, which has that allspice cinnamon thing going on. We have a little bit of cayenne. So it has a little bit of heat, not a lot. And it has a little bit of tomato paste. So it's kind of a guava-y, tomato-y. It's not sort of, you could almost call it a guava ketchup, but it's not tart, like ketchup tart. We actually put some tamarind in it, so it has a nice mouthfeel, that nice, tamarind's like, tastes like sour raisins, and the two with the sweet guava go just perfectly together, and then with our seasonings and a little bit of vanilla in there, so it's almost like a spiced rum guava sauce. I mean, it's really good.
Yeah, to me, it's not really ketchup-y. In fact, we had a chef who came by our kitchen, and he was like, oh, man, he goes, I'm going to put this on ice cream. I said, what? It's a barbecue sauce. He goes, I don't care.
Man, after the third thing he said, I got to hear it.
Yeah!
Oh, man, everything he said right there was a big time hell yeah.
That's what he said. He couldn't help himself. He said, I'm going to make this, I'm going to make that. I'm like, oh, boy, you sound like Pirate Johnny.
Man, you know, when big-time barbecuers and big-time people who can work on all kinds of different stuff, man, when they get wound up, I mean, magic happens. And you know, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Something about being out there by the ocean in Florida, that Florida weather, and then being a pirate out in that area. I mean, look what it did to Dale Wilson. Dale Wilson done turned into a hell yeah sign guy, making signs for everybody in the world. So you know this Pirate Johnny's good. And folks, I wouldn't steer you wrong. Now, I was wrong. I'll admit it. I gave my Pirate Johnny away. You know, that was just a bad move to do now. I'm sorry I did it. But the thing is I did try them all. And I did a taste. You know, Daryl likes to drink barbecue sauce, and I like to eat rubs. You know, I mean, I feel like I've done enough of it now that if I get a rub and I put it in my hand and taste it, I can kind of tell where it's going. And now, let me give you one on the bad side of the spectrum, and God bless his heart. There was a buddy of mine that had a rub called Little Johnny's Bonafide Rib Rub and Rooster Booster. Now, he was he's still a good friend of mine. I love him to death, John Getzinger. And I put some of that rub in my hand, and I tasted it, and, ooh, I love you. I love you, Johnny. I'm not trying to throw off on you, but, and I guess he did that one. But anyway, but then I got Pirate Johnny's, and I got that Cajun, and I got a couple of the other ones, and I put them in my hand, and it was like the lights went on. It's like I was having a boring day, and all of a sudden, papayo, bam, it had a beginning, and then in the middle, it kind of hit me on one cheek, hit me on another cheek on the inside, kind of popped up in the back of my mouth, and at the end of it, I felt a little heat on the back of my tongue, and it was bold. You know, it's like if you put it on a big piece of meat, like a ribs or chicken or a Boston butt, you're not going to have to hunt for it, but it's not going to overpower it. And so the evenness and balance of it is what really, you know, led me to go back and say, is it okay if I put it on my website to sell? See, now, everything we've got on our website that I'm selling, Barbecue Superstars endorses and is 100% behind. Now, if you go on my store and you know of something and it's not on there, well, you might want to take that as a little hint because, you know, I might not endorse or back that other product. So that's like a referendum on whether
I like it or not. And if you go on there and look, I believe we've got every Pirate Johnny product that this pirate from down there in Florida makes. And this stuff is outstandingly good. And Pirate Johnny, I just got to ask you, you know, guava nectar has been a huge secret in the barbecue world. Now, I outed it a little bit because I used it on my television show, but I just have to ask you now, how'd you figure that one out?
Yeah, I love barbecue, but we're not like competitive barbecuers. We just make things for cooking. I love to cook. I love to eat. And we like to travel. And I guess I really started enjoying guava when we ended up in Costa Rica one time. And where we stayed, they had fresh juices every morning, fresh squeezed pineapple, fresh squeezed guava juice. And it's like, I mean, I could have just sat there with my mouth under the tap. It was just, I just love guava juice. It's one of my favorite all-time flavors. In the Tampa Bay area, we have a lot of Cuban folks, and they make guava cream cheese turnovers and pastries that I just love. They're to die for. And I've always liked guava, and so it's one of my little particular favorites, and it's a Cuban favorite for sure, and that's kind of the culture we're from here. And I just indulged myself and thought, I want to do this just for me because I like it. And I like barbecue, and I thought the two could go together, and so I just created the sauce. I mean, the guava has a unique sort of a musky, kind of a fruity, musky richness that I think goes really well with barbecue. So I came about it from a different direction, not particularly as a barbecuer, but as a lover of the Caribbean culture and guava cream cheese turnovers, and thought I'd make it into a sauce. I got some other ideas too. I got plenty of ones I still want to make. We're talking about coming up with a chili, and we want a chili contest in the spring, a chili cook-off, and we don't have a chili
roll.
So we're probably going to do our own little Caribbean chili twist that we're going to probably come out with this fall too, and prepackage it in little bags. But I've got lots of ideas, and so they're fun. I like creating stuff. So there's always
now,
more coming.
Your chili contest there's a certain sanction that bought it for that. Was it one of them? Was it the big sanction that bought it?
No, it was actually at a local Harley Davidson dealership, and we just on a whim decided to go do it for fun, and we just went out, our first one we ever did, and we won an award. So I guess
that's
like
big. Now we was at one in Venice, Florida, and that was the first chili contest that I'd ever been to, and I tell you, there was about 30 or 40 teams there, and it was tough. I went down through there at 8, and you know, I couldn't pick out a winner. I was like, my God, they're, well, now let me back up. All of them pretty much was good. That was one or two, you know. But the other 30 out of 40, and there was one fellow, Pirate John, I just got to ask you. There was a fellow there. He came at chili from a seafood angle, and he had shrimp, scallops, oysters, and lobster tail mixed in with a sort of a zesty chili base. And I tell you, that might have been the best chili I've ever ate. Have you ever heard it coming from that angle before?
Yeah, a little bit. Everybody in here in Florida, there's always somebody doing something with seafood. There's so much around here. We actually came at it from a whole different approach. See, our whole product line is based on things that grow or come from the Caribbean. So coffee is one of those that was brought in, and some places grow, you know, obviously in Jamaica. So we actually use coffee in we have a seasoning called Caribbean Roundup that's a coffee steak rub, and we use that in our chili, and it came out just rich and dark brown and just, beef. Full of dark, rich, heavy-duty flavor. And again, it wasn't so much hot. It just had real flavor and thickness And we use a in all of our rubs, we use a chili powder that's almost black, dark red, almost black. I mean, it's just a deep, wonderful flavor and color that we get from a secret source. And we use that in all of our rubs, and we use that in our chili seasoning. And so the chili came out this dark maroon color, and it just had this richness to it that was just great.
Doesn't it make you feel good when you produce something like that, and then when you get it done and you mix it around, you realize, man, I just made a little hell yeah.
Yeah, and for me, who just made that meal last night, I was feeling proud, and I shouldn't have been. He's the one who created it, but, you know, I got to cook it.
Yarr, that's right.
So we both get
hell
yeah.
Hell, oh, I got to do that because, you know.
Hell yeah! Hell yeah!
There you go. Yarr!
You know, and I'm sure you guys can agree with this sentiment. You know, nowadays, you know, it's hard in this climate to be a person that goes out and makes $10 or $20 million, or, you know, it's hard for a person to go out on a corner now with a bunch of shirts and be a shirt salesman, and then next thing you know, you got a Macy's over on the other side where you're selling all kinds of clothes. It's hard to do that. Because you got to have millions of dollars to get in the mall or whatever. But, you know, nowadays, I think for most Americans who have given up ownership, it's about living good. And, you know, that's what Pirate Johnny's is obviously about. And, you know, you get on that site, and I tell you what I do. The smallest bottle they got, I buy all 10 of them. Buy them all. And then get out there. If you're not a pro griller and you don't know what you're doing, get out there on the weekends for the heck of it. Get your wife and kids out there. Get your family all involved. And, you know, get out there and cook up a little something and try out Pirate Johnny's different flavors. And the thing about Pirate Johnny's, if you buy the small bottles and get the whole line, is you'll essentially get a little touch of everything that's out there in barbecue. And, you know, Pirate Johnny, I got to give you credit for masterfully really touching from one end of the spectrum to the other. You know, you go all the way from Cajun, hell yeah, barbecue rub to regular barbecue rub, all the way over there to key lime, you know, and you got to transition from that to that, which, you know, I've been to a lot of contests. I've been around a lot of barbecue people. He's got the full spectrum, and, you know, from the way you're talking about, people sending in and being in Costa Rica and all that, you're an intelligent guy. And for you to pick out this guava thing, to me, without spending the $40,000 to travel, you got a lot going on over there. That's a smart dude. And, you know, if we'll all join together, get out there with some Pirate Johnny, get you a little pirate hat. I mean, get yourself a bandana. I mean, plug into the pirate thing. You know, it's not a bad thing on the weekend to go out, have yourself a good time, and play the role. Get your Pirate Johnny, get your little pirate bandana on, and do a little and a little and, you know, have yourself a good time. Cook up some meat, turn on the game. Now football's coming, and, you know, if you want to be the big man at the tailgate, now that's, you know, that's an issue because now – watching football, basketball, baseball games, NASCAR. I mean, that's about all we got. You know, you're not going to be able to hit the home run unless you got connections. People who make it are connected. So don't worry about all that. Let's concentrate on living good. And Pirate Johnny, I'm going to tell you, if people will really get in here and start using your rubs and sauces and get into the pirate world and the feeling of being a pirate, a rebel, you know, a person that's going to break away and just have a good time, Pirate Johnny's is the way to go, and you can live good using them Pirate Johnny sauces and rubs, can't you?
Yeah, we don't follow a mold. We follow our taste buds, and it's a big world out there, and that's one of the nice things about living in Florida is that we're exposed to a lot of cultures and a lot of people from all over, and traveling to the islands is not very hard or very far for us, And there's so many things going on taste-wise. And, I mean, they've been barbecuing down in the Caribbean a very long time. I think that's kind of where the word barbecue came from originally, is the barbecuing and buccaneering and all of that kind of stuff. And they figured out how to grill meats and put flavor on it. So we just kind of borrow what other cultures have done and simplify it and sort of Americanize some of the flavors and created a variety. And it's something that we use all the time. That's why we have such a wide product line, because we like doing different things. We like seafood. We like smoking on the smoker. We like fish on the grill. We like chili. So we put it together just because of that. And there's a whole much more we're going to do. We're just having fun with these, and we're always inventing something new. And we do. We dress up like pirates because there's Pirate Fest here in Florida all the time. And we go full pirate on some of these. I got my holster with my gun and sword, and we got the pirate gear and pirate hats, and we do the yard thing all weekend.
Now, Mrs. Pirate Johnny, what do you do when you're out there?
I sing songs for "There is a friend named Daryl Mastin. He's a great barbecuer." It's an old sea shanty song, and we made up words just for you. I think you actually have it on your website, Daryl.
Oh yeah, I do. And you know, that was one of the highlights of having barbecue superstars. And you know, folks, I just want to reach out to everybody out there. You know, I know if you're a big time barbecue competitor that you want to be the best, you want to come up with the best, and you probably are. You know, I'll give you credit, you probably are, but you know, you got to have fun with it. And you know, I wish a lot of y'all, instead of getting into the points chase, let down a little bit, because you know, one thing I'll say to all the barbecue teams out there is you got a lot going on around you. There is a lot of barbecue research and kick-ass stuff going on around you all the time. And I challenge you every once in a while, harness a little bit of that and have some fun with it. And, you know, maybe one weekend, let me give you a suggestion, up in November after the Jack Daniels is over and you're, you know, pretty much at the end of your season, look around and find out what the Division I college football team is in your area. Now, it might not necessarily be the name of Mississippi or Mississippi State or Oregon, but it might be, you know, University of North Carolina, Charlotte. You might have a smaller Division I school in your area. So, you know, go to Barbecue Superstars. We've got all the divisions there. Look through the divisions. Find a team near you. And by God, try to get a space, try to get a place out there, and pull your big, massive, hell yeah, barbecue competition cooker team out there to the Division I team and hold a big ass tailgate. And you know, if you don't want to reveal all your big barbecue competition stuff, Pirate Johnny's is not a bad way to go. Get the line. Or buy, you know, 5 or 10 pound block. Now, you'll probably have to make a call to them, but I'm sure Pirate Johnny can handle anything you got. He's getting it in by the truckload. And get them to make you up 10 pounds or something and send it out. Go down to your tailgate. And, I mean, let the wires loose for a little bit. Get out there, cook a whole bunch of barbecue. Get everybody out there dancing, singing, having a yar time.
Yar.
And live a little bit, you know. And now, I got to ask you, Pirate Johnny, when you was in Costa Rica, there wasn't any treasure or battleships involved, was there?
I tell you, that is one interesting, fun country. It's if you can imagine, it's hard to imagine going to a place like that with so many things like volcanoes and literally crocodiles next to your car. There's no lawyers in Costa Rica. There's no safety signs. There's no barricades. You're pretty much out there. And it literally, we were at the base of a volcano with Volkswagen-sized boulders rolling down the face of it, looking up at the thing like, holy moly, how active are these volcanoes? I mean, it's...
Oh, wow.
It is one cool place and one cool country and beautiful beaches and great food, and they grow the most amazing coffees there and the fabulous coffees that actually taste very chocolatey. So that's kind of one of the... It was sort of a motivation for the for our steak rub, is that coffee, chocolatey kind of richness. And there's so many good things out in the world, you know. In America, we kind of have it all brought in, but other people in the world are actually growing it and producing it in their own unique ways. And it's just fun to travel. And keeping on your question there, yes, we actually do sell in 5-pound jugs. We have a couple of restaurants here that, if you can imagine, they do wings in a wood-fired pizza oven, and they use them, our spices, our Caribbean spices. We actually do a special blend for them using our Caribbean and our Scorch Pirate, and they do it on wings in the pizza oven, and it's just, we're always selling them 5-pound jugs every couple of weeks, so they love our stuff. Nobody knows that it's ours. The pizza people, or the people that go to the pizza places, love the wings, and so we do a special rub for them. But, yeah, we sell in 5- and 10-pound jugs for competition people, too.
Man, I tell you now, a lot of them restaurants do stuff like that, and I know a particular restaurant up there around the northern part of Georgia, and I'm not going to say where or anything, but got a competition team cooking all their brisket, and those people in there going to their restaurant are just freaking out and love it. And so, you know, Parma Johnny's is a source for that, and there are a lot of non-barbecue restaurants who want to offer a form of barbecue to go along with their menu. So a person comes in and, you know, four of them can get hamburgers, three of them get seafood, and then one of them can get the barbecue, and he's not the odd man out. And Pirate Johnny's can offer you that in your restaurant, the ability to supersize or jazzercise or piratize.
That's a good word.
And, you know,
piratize. Yarr, that's the one.
Hey, I'm piratized. I got to do a little. Hell
yeah! Yarr, now you're getting it there.
Yeah, I'm good, Daryl.
You know, it's funny. In barbecue, it's hell yeah, but in Pirateville, it's well, we were supposed to have a very special caller. We're just waiting on her to call in, another special guest. And, you know, don't be scared. Go ahead and call in. We'll have us a good time. And I've got a lot of fun stuff planned for your call in. And now, folks, let me ask y'all, has it been a scary experience to get on the radio with me?
Oh, not at all. It's fun. We like doing it. In fact, we're going to be doing some commercials coming up soon on the radio locally. So we're looking forward to doing that. But yeah, I've been on the radio a couple of times. It's actually fun. I enjoy it. I've been in the radio studio, which, you know, at first sounds intimidating until you sit down and realize it's just people sitting around with this metal thing in front of you. And after about 10 seconds, you forget it's there and you just start talking.
Yeah, you know, really, it's just about talking and having a fun conversation. And, you know, it's just about talking about whatever the business of the day is. And it's really not about, you know, that's one thing I hate that, like, the mainstream media has done is just like Barbecue Pitmasters, and Myra Mixon's good at it, but they tell them every word to say, and then if they don't say exactly what they want them to say, they, you know, do it again, you can't get it, you don't belong here, I don't know what all. I don't know if you guys have ever been through that before, but, you know, barbecue superstars, we don't do that. You know, it's just having fun. It's just, you know, being in the moment and hearing about what you got, what you're doing out there. And I hope y'all have enjoyed having Pirate Johnny's on here as much as I've enjoyed having them on here. And, you know, cooking and barbecue and life in general is a lot of fun. And you said that you went out there and you got some scallops, and I just wondered, how's that work now? Are they in the shell?
Yeah, they come pre-installed in a shell. God did it that way.
Okay.
When you go to grab them, they, they have these little eyes, and they self-propel themselves trying to get away from you. You just have to kind of dig through the grass to get them. And for the first time this year, Pirate Johnny could actually see.
Yeah, my my piratey wife here, Terry, bought me a my eyesight's not so good, and so every time I've ever been under the water since I was a kid, I could never see ever. I just took it as normal, and I finally got a prescription diving mask. So this year, the first 15 minutes of swimming, I just went under the water and just sat there going, wow.
Man, that's cool. And where'd you go to do it, off the coast of Florida?
Yeah, we go out of Homosassa, and it's actually a gorgeous ride down the river, this absolutely gorgeous river, the Homosassa River. About a five-mile ride. We launch up river in the town of Homosassa and take the river ride out. We took our jet ski this year, our Wave Runner. It's a big Wave Runner, so it's easy to support us. And we go about, believe it or not, it's about 5 or 7 miles offshore, but we're still only in 6 feet of water. And you look for the seagrass, a certain type of seagrass, and you just drop anchor, launch over the side, and go swimming, and you see them down there in the grass. You bring a little net bag, and you grab them, and you fill up your bag. They're about two, maybe 2.5, 3 inches around, the big ones.
And what's cool is some of the local restaurants will cook them up for you. And the craziest thing, this I felt right at home being Cajun. These guys over there, the way they clean them, they take a vacuum cleaner and suck out the extra guts that they don't want at it. Sorry, I know that doesn't sound so good, but that's
wow.
What they
do.
It's crazy.
Like a regular vacuum cleaner?
Yeah, like a shop vac. They stick it in the shell and suck out the guts. Can you imagine cleaning that shop vac out?
Do they have legs?
No, they. You know, there's a couple ways to eat them. The local Florida people like us, we kind of eat them with. It's kind of weird to say, but they have a ring of eyes around the outside of the shell. There's like I forgot how many, like 100 and something eyes, and. And it's actually where the flavor is. The scallop mussel is kind of, you know, that nice sweet thing. But if you leave some of the other stuff on there and you kind of cut out what we call the liver and you leave the rest, it's fabulous flavor, almost like between a mussel and an oyster and a scallop. They're very sweet. But they have much more flavor if you leave some of the guts on. And then we deep fry them or we steam them in the shell with a little garlic and wine and some key lime. They're fun to eat.
They look, Daryl, when you cook them, when you fry them, they look like little octopus-like. The lining of them, the eyes, it ends up being looking like little...
Please try again.
Let's see now. We've got a 347-498. Is that BS Radio? 347-498. We got another caller. I think it's
Thank
another
you
radio
for using
network.
Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Yarr.
Well, anyway, you know, I've seen all sorts of sizes of scallops. Now, I went to the grocery store, and you see them about big as a quarter, and then, I went down to exit 101 in Columbia. It's on Interstate 26, and that guy had scallops that were probably 2 inches across the top. And I just wondered, what's the average size that you see down around your way?
Yeah, there's there's two different kinds of scallops. I think there's some called diver scallops, and they're actually very large shells. And we had the opportunity to go to Alaska with some family relatives and stayed with them, and one of the relatives went diving for scallops, and the shell is probably of almost 8 inches around, and the scallop inside was probably, the actual meat, probably 2 inches around. But the ones in Florida are small. They're called bay scallops, and the shell is only about 2 inches, and the meat is probably the size of your thumb or little finger, depending on the size of the of the shell. That's why we leave the extra meat on it and the goodies on it, to just to double the size of the of what we're eating. Plus, it adds a lot of flavor. I mean, that's the way the old school Florida folks do it. If, you know, if you're kind of like a fancy New Yorker, you want it clean and simple. But and I don't think we'd ever eat all the guts on a scallop that's a foot around. But on the little ones, it's actually kind of pleasant and lots of flavor.
And,
but the
know,
ones here are called bay scallops, yeah. The ones that live in the
scallops?
Grass. Yeah.
Okay. You know, I've ate a lot of scallops, and you know, I know what oysters look like, and I know what shrimp look like, and I know what lobster looks like. I don't know why I've never investigated what scallops look like, and boy, 100-some eyes all the way around the rim, but now they kind of propel themselves and like float in the water. They don't really like have six legs.
They actually they clamp their shells closed and they swim. They'll swim all over the place. Sometimes if they're frightened, you actually have to go chase them down.
How fast can they move?
They maybe clamp their shell or squeeze their shell like once every half second. So it's like, you know, squirt, 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 and they move about a foot at a time.
Yeah, when they close their shell too, if your finger's there, I mean, you know, it is a little. You want to pull your finger out.
A little bit of a pinch.
But
if you've seen,
the
shell on the logo on the Shell Oil sign, that's a scallop shell.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh. And that's on the like the Shell Oil thing.
Right. That's actually a scallop shell.
I didn't know that. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I looked to me like a perfume box, you know.
I know, it's
good,
yeah.
So that's
well,
what scallops is.
And it's my understanding that they only live 1 year. They have a 1 year lifespan, and they breed in the winter, and I don't know the whole life cycle, but they. The longer you wait in the summer to go collect them, the bigger they get. They grow, I guess, really fast in the summer. The season opens in June 1st, I think.
July
1st, yeah. And it's open, I forgot, 2 months or so.
September.
And if you can wait till the end of the season, they're actually like almost double the size if people didn't pick them out by then. But the areas up in the what's called the nature coast of Florida is where most of the scallops are, where the water is clear and pristine, and there's lots of grass beds, and there's all kinds of things down there when you're swimming with the scallops. And, I mean, I had a remora try to attach itself to me. He must have thought I was a big giant shark.
What's a remora?
Even, yeah.
Oh, it's one of those fish you see that attach themselves to sharks that kind of hang out with sharks. They have a flat head and like a suction cup. There's all kinds of fish down there that you're hanging out with.
See, Pirate Johnny's able to see more than I saw for a change this year. He came up with more scallops than me, too.
Man, I'd say living in Florida is a wonderful way of life, especially on any of the coasts and down in the Gulf Coast. And, you know, if you could live anywhere in the world other than Florida, where would you live?
Oh, I don't know. We've traveled all over, and we always come back here because it's such a – it's got a little bit of everything. You know, some places of the world have a lot of one thing, but all the other pieces are missing. Like, I really love Seattle area, but it's, you know, bloody cold and rains all winter. I love Alaska. If we could live there for, like, 1 month in the summer. But I can't imagine living in Alaska in the dead of winter where the sun doesn't come up. So, you know, I like Florida. It's convenient. We have, like I said, a little bit of everything. The Gulf Coast is nice because we have all the – we're only a four-hour drive from Miami Lauderdale with all of that that goes on down there, but it's nice and quiet and safer over here on this coast. The ocean, we got the Gulf, and it's not as rugged as the ocean. We can swim at the beach all the time and fish. We have a lot of inlets and things that you don't have over on the Atlantic coast, so it's kind of like the best of both worlds. We don't have any real big cities like New York, Boston, Los Angeles, but, you know, that's a good thing, too.
Yeah, I tell you, it keeps the crime down, and, you know, all the places I've been in Florida, I've seen nothing but good, and the people are good. And now down around Live Oak, down that way, there's one city we went through, and all the people are about 4 foot tall. And we went down through the city, and they're all Cubans. They're all brown looking. And you know what city I'm talking about? Do you know what the people I'm talking about are?
No, not really.
It might be Live Oak itself. I don't know. Go ahead.
You said they're Cuban, did you say?
Yeah, it's a bunch of Cubans, and they're only about 4 foot tall, and it'll mess with your head because they'll come out of the convenience store. I've been through there about 4 or 5 times when I was shooting Big Papa's Battle at Barbecue Junction. And you think, hey, that's a normal-sized person. I'm just further away. And then here comes a white woman, and, you know, she's probably a normal 5 foot tall, and that guy's down below her shoulders walking around. I'm like, good God. No, my mind's not playing tricks with me. And I never did see, like, a man that was 6 foot or taller walking down the road, but, you know, they were on a bike, and it was a full-grown man, and he looked like a little child trying to ride a 26-inch bike. And it's only one town, and I don't know what's wrong with the Cubans there. Somebody needs to feed them something.
They need some scallops.
They need some barbecue.
They need a surf and turf.
That's a new one to me. Most of the Cuban folks that we run into are normal sized folks, and they're all, I tell you, they're some of the nicest people. I enjoy Cuban cooking. I love Cuban cooking and Cuban folks. They're hardworking and good, honest family people, and it's just a nice bunch of folks.
Okay, well, now I got to ask you, margaritas. I mean, what kind of spices and rubs have you got to put on the rim or put in a margarita?
That's we actually had a like I told you, we're actually real pirates. We're sailors. We have a sailboat and we race our sailboat, and we're always out on the water. Like tonight, I said we were going to be out sailing in a race, but the weather was iffy and there was no wind actually. But so we one night about a month ago, we had a little after race party with margaritas, and we did a little video. We have to put that up somewhere. But Terry was playing bar wench. Yarr. And she was mixing up some margaritas, and she rimmed the glass with some lime and then dipped it in our key lime.
But I also did that yummy Caribbean too, because it was opposite taste, you know, the sweet versus the sourness of the margarita. We did a couple of different things. We did Sweet Island too.
And then put that on the rim, and then had the margarita. We've also done Bloody Marys are also awesome with our barbecue curry. And that's probably a spice most barbecue folks don't use or aren't familiar with, is curry. We do a barbecue rub and a curry together, and it's like the best of both. And it's not hot. It's not a hot Indian. We use a really fresh Indian curry and blend it with our barbecue rub. And it's a unique spice that we use for everything from, like, Thai food, Oriental Asian stir fry with coconut milk, to putting it on rims of glasses on Bloody Marys, and it's fabulous stuff. And it just, everybody looks at it and goes, wow, what's this? And they taste it. We do actually a dip when we do festivals, where we mix it with sour cream and we serve it with tortilla chips, and it just knocks people's socks off. They taste it and go, wow, what is that? But that's one that's good for putting on a rim of a glass too, is our barbecue curry.
Man, that sounds good. Wow. Man, I tell you, Pirate Johnny's. Now, PirateJonny's. Now, look, folks, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there bark about how good their stuff is, and, you know, all this other stuff. But you know what? When you're cooking barbecue, every once in a while, you need to change it up, you know. The same process on the same ribs on the same Saturday afternoon. Gets boring.
Right.
It gets boring. And get some seafood. Hey, give your digestive tract a break. Go out and buy you some scallops. And you know, you got the right stuff right there. And I challenge you, get the smallest bottle, buy the whole line, and then turn around, experiment, work. Now, I know the fellow that I gave that all to, he is doing that, and he bought a big Meadow Creek smoker, and he's went flipping crazy for barbecue like I have. Man, he loves it, and he don't know how he got into it. You know, it's funny, I don't know what it is, but when you turn 40 or older, all of a sudden the food you eat becomes a big deal. I'm 48, and, you know, now I'm worried about herbs and spices and living good and cooking good. I don't know what happened to me. And Pirate, now, how old were you when you really flipped over all these spices and started working on all this stuff?
That's a good question. I actually was, my mom taught me how to cook when I was just big enough to look up and see the stove. So I've been enjoying cooking since I was a kid. But when it came to spices, I think Terry's probably, well, two things. One was the area we're in, and I love Cuban food and all of that. But then when Terry came along like 10 years ago, she introduced me to some heavy-duty Cajun cooking and gumbos, and traveling back and forth to Louisiana, I just learned to cook with spice and flavor and forget salt and pepper. We just put spice on things, and then it just sort of branched out from there. And, yeah, like you said, when you hit mid-40s or so, you really appreciate your food and you enjoy something different. And when we travel, we always sample food from that region. We never go to American, we avoid the American restaurants at all. We go to find what the local restaurants are doing, the local people are eating. And no matter what it is, we've asked somebody, what do you like? And we eat it, not even knowing. And sometimes it's a hit, and sometimes it's like, whoa. but we always sample, you know, you never know. And so it's just, you know, dining out and trying different things just is one of the pleasures of life. So the Cajun thing came along, and cooking with spice and gumbos and jambalayas and etouffees. And then I just developed our rubs from cooking at home for fun. And then we submitted for, we started a little business just for fun, didn't know where it was going to go, and submitted our Caribbean to the National Barbecue Association, which we joined, and I highly recommend joining the National Barbecue Association. What a great resource for barbecuers, I tell you. And we won second place in the nation with our Caribbean dry rub, and we were hoping that if we get a top 10, somewhere in the top 15 out of all these 300 or 400 entries, we'd be, like, thrilled. And we got the email back, and our little group here was looking at it, and we're, like, looking at each other like, are you sure that's the second place? I read it again.
Yeah, that's big, man.
And so we were, like, blown away, and we'd only opened our doors and got our shingle, like, 6 weeks before. And that's only been 2.5 years, and here we are having fun with barbecue. So we just like flavor and like variety and like creating things. And there's so much in the world that's out there that's worth sampling.
Well, man, I've really had a good time tonight, and I want to give your wife just a minute to say a few words to all the barbecue world and to the people about what your man, your Pirate right there, has meant to you about opening all this new international and United States cuisine to you, and sampling and going out taking risks, and then moving into doing Pirate Johnny's. I just want to give you a minute to talk about how your life has been and what's happened.
Well, like I said, Daryl, I'm not much of a cook, even though I came from a family who knew how to cook with all the Cajun background, but I just enjoyed eating it. I never bothered learning it. And so John, being the creative guy that he is, he just saw it, loved it, and he started creating. And, you know, it made me feel like, wow, I can actually make some healthy, good-tasting meals for him now. And, you know, I don't have to think about it. That's the big thing for me. I can just grab a jar of whatever flavor, because he keeps creating. That's one thing. In our house, it's crazy. He's always coming up with another flavor, another idea, and I keep saying, we got too much stuff already. But, you know, it really is a lot of fun and a pleasure to be able to have that variety. And the fact that, you know, my background, all of the Cajun seasoning typically, and it's all high salt. So I really, you know, we're in our 50s, so I really appreciate the healthy aspect too. But my favorite slogan that I always hear from people is, man, I try that, it's good on everything. And so I kind of incorporated my own little slogan that I like to say, put a little pirate on it, and it's good on everything. And it's really true. We even make pirate nuts with peanuts in our Sweet Island. Seriously, we even have that in a couple of bars out here. So literally, you can do all kind of crazy things with it, and it's just all good. And you know, my friends, I'm very fortunate to have Pirate Johnny's in my life, because he knows how to do all this stuff, and it makes our life easier, that's for sure. And it's late at night, and he's coming home, and you know, I don't have to cut up onion and pepper and all that. I can just get some one of the seasonings or rubs and just do my little maneuver, rubbing it on it, and stick it in the oven or the grill, and I'm done. So that's how it's made a difference in our life. It just makes things easier, and we eat well and eat nice, and very happy for that.
Yeah, man, it makes good living. You know, living good is something that we can do. As long as you have got enough money to make it down to that grocery store and buy yourself whatever you want to eat, it don't necessarily have to be meat. Vegetarians can make stuff that's just as good as anything meat lovers make, but get what you want and then buy some Pirate Johnny's and make it into what you want. Pirate Johnny, we just want to give you a few minutes here to talk to all the barbecue world, all the barbecue competitors and people who are enthusiasts in the backyard. And, you know, with all your talent and one thing I can say that's really coming through in this radio show that we've done is you've lived a good life in food, and you've went out eating to do research and eating expecting a new flavor profile. And somehow I'll give you credit on the guava nectar. You know, that's big. That right there says volumes. And all you barbecue competitors, barbecue enthusiasts, you gotta latch on to that right now, because, you know, this guy here is pulling out stuff. And, you know, when you get somebody with as much intelligence as Pirate Johnny, if we get behind him and put a little fire behind him, he'll come up with something that'll save your restaurant. He'll come up with something that'll save your catering business. He'll come out with something that you got competitors, you get with Pirate Johnny and get his flavor profile on some of your cuisine, it might make you take that step over your local catering companies, where you're the one people are talking about. You're the one who've made that step in the big right direction. And that's what Barbecue Superstars is about, pointing barbecue professionals in a good direction. And that's exactly what I'm doing right now. And that's exactly why Pirate Johnny is on this show. So don't make any him or haw or doubt about it. It might not be your stuff, but this is some good stuff. And you need to get it, mix it with what you got, or else use it by itself. But Pirate Johnny, go ahead and talk to the barbecue people just for a few minutes about, you know, what barbecue rubs and sauces has mean to you.
Yeah, again, we don't do competitive barbecue. We've actually done a little catering once in a while, but we don't do competitive barbecue. We went to a bunch of the classes this year at the National Barbecue Association in Mobile, and I learned just huge amounts from folks like Mark Lambert about how to prep food for competition barbecue. And then he went on to win Memphis in May. So I'm like, you know, those notes I took are like gold because, I mean, he just knows what he's doing. So, you know, there's never an end to the learning process, especially if you enjoy it. I highly recommend those kind of things, and put your own twist on it. That's kind of what we do. I didn't start off trying to do anything other than enjoy feeding my family and making something fun and use our own unique approach. And I am in the creative business or creative profession, and I like creating things. It's what I do, and I've got so many ideas for other rubs. And that was a good point you mentioned. We can actually do custom rubs for people and create something completely unique, and that's what we're doing for this restaurant here. And it's their rub, and we put their name on it, and they're the only ones that use it. And it's a unique blend for their restaurant, and we can do stuff like that. We can create anything. And our whole business was built on products from the Caribbean, things that grow or came from the English or the Dutch or were shipped in, you know, or grown there. And there's a huge range of flavors in that region, and that's kind of what makes us unique. We don't try to compete with anybody. We just do our thing and have fun with food, and it increases our quality of life and broadens our taste buds and opens your eyes and to that there's all kinds of possibilities, and not, like you said, not just the same sauce and the same rub on your ribs every weekend. You know, branch out, try that guava thing, try orange. That's one where I've got eyes on wanting to do some more things with orange and the citrus range, which is just really good. And so there's so many things out there that have yet to be tapped into. It's an unlimited world when it comes to flavor.
Yeah, it's absolutely the truth. And now, there was a fella that was in a motel room one day, and he was at the end of his rope. And he wrote this song, and he called it Come Monday. And, you know, he sang that song, and that got his whole career. You know, when you're at your lowest and at your worst, you know, you never know when the light will come through in the darkness of night. And so don't ever give up, because when this fellow sang that song Come Monday, he was actually giving up. And I didn't know this. I heard this on a David Letterman interview. And so we're going to play his song to and that, of course, is Jimmy Buffett and Come Monday. And so we're going to play this song to end off this great radio show and a great time we've had. And Power of Johnny, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, like email or some form of getting a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, just our website, piratejohnnys.com. There's an email. There's a place to join our newsletter on there, and we just we do some specials on the newsletter, and the email's on there, or you can get a hold of me at jtoner, J-T-O-N-E-R, at piratejohnnys.com, and that's Johnny's with J-O-N-N-Y-S.com, or check the website. Yeah, like I said, I love creating, and we're not done yet. We got lots of ideas.
Well, I'll tell you, he's done a fantastic job so far, and look, let's all get together and support him. Let's buy some and try it and get your footing and where you stand. And then as he gets all these new products out, try them in your restaurant. Try them in your business. Try to come up with some changes that will save your business. Because, you know, it's like Restaurant Impossible says, you either got to have damn good food or you got to have a damn good building. Because if you can entertain them enough, like Chuck E. Cheese, then they don't care how the food tastes. But 90% of the restaurants, if you want to stay open, you got to have good food. And I think Pirate Johnny's is an excellent way to go. Well, y'all have a good night. Thanks for coming on Barbecue Superstars Radio, and I hope you'll join me in maybe making a margarita later. And thanks a lot for coming by.
Yeah, that was fun. Thanks for having us on, and we. We also like a little bit of that spiced rum and coke. That's a good way to go, too. Yarr.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake. All of those tourists covered with oil. Drumming my 16 on my front porch swing. Smell those shrimp, they're beginning to boil. Wasting away again in Margaritaville. nothing is sure but this brand new tattoo. But it's a real beauty, a Mexican cutie. How it got here, I haven't a clue. Wasting away again in Margaritaville. Searching for my lost shaker of salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame. Now I think. Hell, it's good in my
Superstars Network Productions.